I want to read from Hebrews. And, well, I'm not going to talk about the Father too much today and try to bring in the holiday, but I want to read from Hebrews chapter 12. And when I read from there, the writer of Hebrews is dealing with a subject about how the Father reproves and corrects a son. I'm not going to talk about that part. I want to emphasize one part that this writer just made a statement and a comment about the Father being a father of spirits. And I want to emphasize that part, and I want to ask a few questions this morning, because we should be what we call a church that follows the Spirit. That's what we are, and should be, right? Walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit, all of these things should be discerned and defined, and we're going to do some of that this morning. But this scripture here in verse 9, and so I'm jumping right into what he's saying, but he says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us." We gave them reverence. Is that true? We give them reverence. "Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live?" Wow, man. Like, think about what that says. Should we not be subject to the Father of spirits, and in our subjection to Him, we live? He's the Father of spirits. Everybody just follow me on this. Raise your right hand and say, "I'm a spirit." Right? I'm a spirit, and my Father is the Father of spirits. He's my Father. That's where I came from. Wow, man. Like, you know, sometimes we read these verses and we go, the Father of spirits, I'm going to be in subjection. The context of this whole thing about the writer of Hebrews is teaching about how a son is reproved of his father. It would be easy to get that message and then forget about this one. He's a father of spirits. And when we are corrected by him and judged by him and reproved by him and given words of life by him, we live in him. So the Father of spirits, as we submit to him, he causes us to live. And let me ask you, everybody, as a spirit who is born of God, isn't that life? Isn't that to live in him? And so also I want to go to Galatians 5, and I want to read verse 25. Signal me when it's up there. Galatians 5, verse 25. "If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Now remember, the writer of Hebrews set it up, Tim, that if we submit to our Father, who is the Father of a spirit, if we submit to him, we live. Where do you think we're going to live? In the Spirit. Because we're submitting to the Father of spirits, and we are a spirit. God is a spirit, which is our Father. And if we submit to the Spirit, we will live in the Spirit. So to submit to the Spirit means we are to live in the Spirit. That's what submitting to the Spirit is. It's to live in the Spirit. And then Paul makes difference. If you're going to live in the Spirit, then you also must walk in the Spirit. Is there a difference? See, living is to abide in. It's to become one with. True? Walking means to go do the works of the Spirit. So what you live in every day is what you will walk in every day. So if you live in the Spirit, will you do the works of the Spirit? You will. And now this is a good lesson for us, okay? Because in our minds, we go, how do you live in the Spirit? How do you walk in the Spirit? What are the things we got to do here? Well, notice something here. This is verse 25. This comes right after Paul, who just taught how to walk in the Spirit. Let's go back up to verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, that was easy. How do you not fall to the flesh? You walk in the Spirit. How do you walk in the Spirit? Because you live in the Spirit. If you don't live in the Spirit, how do you think you're going to walk in the Spirit? Come on, everybody. If you don't live in the Spirit, you will not walk in the Spirit, because then the walking in the flesh will take place. Makes sense, right? So how do you overcome the flesh? Well, you say, well, I got to walk in the Spirit and I won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. But there's this thing about if you're not living and abiding in the habitation of the Spirit, then how are you going to walk in it? Because in the house of God, in the spirit realm, that's what I'm going to call the house of God today, in the spirit realm, that's where you learn how to go out of the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. In other words, I don't just live in the earth and take the Spirit with me just because I think I can. Well, I'm going to act like God because I think I know God. No. You either live in the Spirit and then you walk in the Spirit and take God with you, or you don't live in the Spirit and then you mock God in the flesh like a Pharisee. So which one are we going to do? See, I want you to walk in the Spirit. I want you to live in the Spirit too. Because if you don't live in the Spirit, then you can't walk in the Spirit. So can I say that 500 times this morning? And if I do, will you get it? Or will you let an impartation of the Spirit call you into the Father of spirits and teach you how to be a spiritual being? I like that part. You say, well, first, before we go on, let's say you've got this walking in the Spirit. Notice how immediately in verse 17, he says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Basically, when you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to have a little battle there with flesh. Why? Because notice what Paul is doing here. I'm not going to read it all. The next portion of verses deal with the works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit. You know what he's defining for us? He's showing us that walking in the Spirit produces fruit of the Spirit. Walking in the flesh produces works of the flesh, fruits of the flesh. So walking deals with fruit. Everybody with me? Walking deals with fruit. So if you're walking in the Spirit, that means you are producing fruit of the Spirit. That's simple. This is like grade school right here. But you know what's interesting? I mean, this is origin story here. This is you being in heaven and not going out of heaven in a fall of Adam. This is you being in heaven and going out of heaven being sent so you can walk in the Spirit. Is that why we are born of God? We remember these things. So you're walking in the Spirit, you're going to produce the fruits of the Spirit. And go back and read them, right? You know them. You probably quote them. But we have it right here. Love comes from God. Joy comes from God. Peace comes from God. Long-suffering, these are works, fruits that come forth from abiding in God, in Christ, in the Spirit. So, Tim, if I'm born of the Spirit, well, my fruit's going to tell that story. Now, everybody, why is walking in the Spirit so important? Because it teaches everything that you're from God. Did you hear me? The reason why you need to bear fruit of the Spirit is because it teaches everyone that you are from God. Well, you eat off of it. That's a good point. You say, well, I need to bear fruit because I got to eat off my tree and be sustained and live. That's awesome. But you also, as a testimony to the goodness of God, you've got to tell the same story that Jesus told. And you know what story that is? That the world may know that you have sent me. Oh, come on, everybody, listen to me. Imagine your testimony being, the world may know that I came from God. Wow, man, that's heavy. How many of you think that way? Like, I came from God, and God's word is in me. I come from the abiding place of God, the spirit realm. And so when I go forth, everyone's going to know I came from God. That's what this church is becoming right there. That's just a brief thing about walking in the Spirit, okay? Go back and read that chapter and you will see that he really orders out what walking in the Spirit looks like, doing all the works of God. Even in Romans 8, if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you got to have a spiritual mind, not a carnal mind, okay? Where do you get the spiritual mind? See, where do you get it? Well, you got to get it from the Father of spirits, who did all of that through his Son, Jesus Christ, right? So who do you need to know? Okay, now let me read something else to you. Let's read in 1 Peter, I think it's 2, 1 Peter 2 and 5, I think. Yeah, 1 Peter 2 and 5. You also, as lively stones, are built upon a spiritual house. Oh, I'm sorry. Built up a spiritual house. A holy priesthood to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. What did Peter say you are? You're lively stones. What else? A spiritual house. A holy priesthood. Now, these are things that you are. And when you go to offer, what are you doing? Are you walking in the Spirit? How are you going to offer unto God acceptable sacrifices if you're not living in the Spirit or walking in the Spirit? You can't do it. Now, I'm showing you something. Now, I'm moving to living in the Spirit. I want to get there for a second, okay? Notice how you're a spiritual house built up. That's what the word, every time the word is being preached to you, what is he doing? He's building you up a spiritual house. Now, here's where we're going to find out why you're a spiritual house, and that is in Ephesians chapter 20. I'm sorry, chapter 2. There is no chapter 20. That's the unseen version. Anybody read that chapter yet? If you have read that chapter, then you should be up here teaching us. Because verse 20, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. Notice, oh, no, 19. We got it? Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Is that living in the Spirit? You are in the household, James. You're of the saints. You're not strangers. You're not foreigners. You're in the household. Oh, my goodness. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone? Well, that's why we need the apostolic doctrine and the preaching of Jesus Christ right here, because that's what our house is built on, right? Hey, if you're a house of God, how have you been built? By every word that has built you up. And what are you built upon? Upon the words that you've received. Is it the sayings of Jesus? Have you become a wise man and one who does the works of God? Yep. Now listen to this next verse. Verse 21. In whom all the building, that's you, fitly framed together, grows unto a holy temple in the Lord. Why would you become a holy temple? The next verse is going to tell us. In whom you also built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. What does that make you? You're now an abiding place for God himself. My goodness. You mean God would make you, let me say it this way. Okay, I'm going to use this term to kind of help connect. Is your house an extension of heaven? Well, you could say, no, it is heaven. Yes. But just to help us connect, when you're in the earth, have you ever felt separated from God? Yeah? No? Okay. What did that? Sin? Death? Flesh? But what if you are an extension or a part of heaven? What if you're the house of God in the earth? What if God said, your house and my house are the same house? So therefore, just because you're in the earth, you're a house. Let's say, has anybody ever made a trip from one state to another? Anybody own two houses? I know some people that do. But Keith, when you own that place up in Wisconsin, you would travel from Illinois to Wisconsin and you'd stay in both houses, but they were both yours. And because they were both yours, you had the right to go from one to the other and live in both. Is everybody following what I'm saying? Because if God owns a house in heaven and he owns a house in the earth, he has free reign to travel between both. And his traveling is like that. He don't have to drive a car. God just abides there. And I'm just connecting. In reality, God just lives in both at the same time. But imagine, Tim, you, in your conscience, you're aware that I'm the house of God. And that means my house is the spirit realm of God, and that's where he abides. So where do you think you get taught all the spiritual secrets of God? In that house? Hey, how many times, well, I can't number them, did Jesus speak a parable to those that are without and then call his disciples, sometimes it even said into the house, alone, and he would expound all things to them? What do you think he's showing us a parable of? Is he showing us a parable of, just come in my house and let me teach you some things? And then when you go out, you can walk in the Spirit because I've given you understanding while you were in my house with me. And then when you go out, you're not alone. You go out to walk in the Spirit and do my works. You produce fruit. Where did you get the fruit? Well, I gave it to you in the house, actually, in the form of a seed. And I grew it up in you. And then when you go forth to do the works of God, well, you don't have to worry about having a word from God. How many of you have done this? You say, well, ever been in a situation where you knew you needed to speak the word of God, but you know you didn't have any? Anybody ever done that? Been there? Yeah. You could, even when you studied ahead of time and you get in the moment, you forgot the scripture. Oh, I hate when that happens. That means it's not written in you. It is written in God. Were you really studying that scripture in the house of God, or were you studying it in your house in the earth that wasn't of God? And your memory failed you. Oh, that's called walking in the flesh, everybody. Because I have learned one secret of God that is forever true. And I mean it's true. The Holy Ghost never forgets, James. The Holy Ghost remembers always, at all times, and will never forget His word. So when it's written, you won't forget either. And so I trust in this, and I want you to trust in this as well. When we go, we trust the Lord will remember what needs to be remembered. Isn't it funny? We go, well, oh my gosh, I gotta remember this. I gotta remember this. I gotta remember this. I gotta remember this. And I can, and I can, and I can't. Well, maybe it's not meant to be remembered at that point. Maybe we just need to remember what God is saying. And you know what? I have found that our earthly mind does fail us in memory. And at times, there are things that the Lord wants to talk through us, and our flesh is weak. Look, if we're just patient, if we did forget something, the Lord will bring it to us. So everybody just relax. When we are sent forth to live and walk in the Spirit, when we go to walk, our steps will be ordered. Why? Because we came from the house where God abides. And that's called living in the Spirit. And there is a difference. But just like faith, faith without works is, everybody knows it, dead. Living in the Spirit without walking in the Spirit, what would that do to living in the Spirit? Come on, are you hearing me? I mean, we can't walk around going, oh yeah, I live in the Spirit all the time. Well, how come your parable in life is a disaster? I don't know. I guess I just, you know. They're different. They're separate. Keep them separate now. Heaven and earth are separate places. Let's keep them separate now. So, but then I look at the life of Jesus and I go, well, that's not how He lived. Matter of fact, your will in heaven be done in earth. I think that's the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. So if the kingdom of God be in heaven is meant to be in the earth, it's going to come through us. So that means our walking in the Spirit is a manifestation of where we live. Oh my God, that is like, write that down. Oh wait, it's already written in the Bible. And it's written in heaven. That's how they talk. In heaven, I mean, any angel that went out of heaven and didn't do what heaven said to do was called rebellious and sinned against God. And what did they also sin against? They left their first estate. They left their home. Their habitation. They left it. So when you go out into the earth to do your own works, what are you declaring? I left my home. I left my dwelling place. I left God's house to go out and do my own thing. That's because I walk in the flesh. Good luck with that.
Dan, you said that if someone says, I'm living in the Spirit, but their parable is a disaster, right? You got to ask, what spirit then are they living in? Because because they are living in a spirit realm, but it's not the habitation.
It's not God. They're not ordered by the Lord, are they?
No.
See, these are interesting thoughts that all of us, they're more than just thoughts. They're the will of God, which are the same. But these are things we should be meditating in. Where do I get my gospel from? How do I live my life? Where do I get that from? What is the order that I'm following? What do my prayers consist of? What do my blessings consist of? Am I one to speak and edify God's kingdom, or am I one to tear it down? Do I care about everybody's business more than I do God's? All of that matters. It all matters. Go ahead, Gary.
They don't catch curses. This is why you're teaching them why. This is why people will live an entire life and never catch the curse they're in.
Everybody understand that? Because you don't know you came from heaven.
Yep.
You would think that your parable is of the earth, and that's where you see yourself. But you're not of the earth. I just read it to you. You are all believers in this house, aren't you? Father of spirits, in whom we are in subjection to, that we may live in the Spirit. That's good stuff, man. Therefore, we live in the Spirit and we walk in the Spirit. What's this church built upon? The revelation of Jesus Christ? Is that what we're built upon? What has God done for us this whole time? Is he not brought us into his house, cleansed us, and began to teach us and raise us up and build us a spiritual house? And then he says, I'll tell you what, I will plant you in the earth. See, erase the fall. How many of you have been forgiven of all your sins? I've been talking to Pastor Brian about, he mentioned the other day about forgiveness and purging sin. I'm working on him to teach that one to all of us here. But here's the thing. If you have, sins have been erased and they are gone, then you are a habitation of God, man. You are a habitation of God. Your planting in the earth is a planting of the Lord. And whether you call it a tree, whether you call it a baby, whether you call it a house, all of it's coming forth from God, and that's going to be your life. So you can be a son and daughter of God, or you could be a righteous tree of God, or you could be a spiritual house of God. It doesn't matter what you call it. You are of God, and you came from God. And that's what I'm after here. That's what the Lord has ordained for this church, that we be a spiritual habitation of him. So now we know why Jesus could say, I am of my Father, and my Father is of me. That's profound. So how could that be? If you're fallen into sin, you don't think that way. If you're born of him and you came from him, then you already know. I'm in heaven right now. I mean, how many has ever thought that? Like, I'm actually in heaven right now. Yeah, it's a head scratcher. Yeah. See, some of you don't even think that way. And I'm being nice by saying some. If I'm in him and he's in me, where am I? Come on, everybody. Come on, everybody. See, when I separate a house in the earth, we think I'm still separated. No, you're not. And that's why Jesus' words were so profound to us. In John 17, he didn't just say, I and my Father are one. He also included those that he gave his word to. and those that are his. And Brad, what did he say about them? Didn't he say that we may be one, that you may be one with me and my Father? Isn't in 1 John chapter 1 when he says, we bring the light to you what we've experienced of God, and our fellowship is with the Father and the Son, and we give it to you so that you may have fellowship with the Father and the Son. Where does that take place, everybody? In heavenly places? Come on. Come on now. We live in the Spirit. Now, I ain't just accepting everybody and say, oh yeah, we're all in the Spirit. No, listen to me. I am saying to you, that is the will of God. We live in the Spirit. We are to live in the Spirit, and we are to walk in the Spirit. One last verse. I think it's in, well, Ezekiel. It's got to be Ezekiel. It's got to be Ezekiel. Ezekiel, yeah, 37:14. Put that up there. Remember the valley of dry bones? And he breathed life into them? Notice what he says. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. Say, well, how do I become a house of God? Hello, we're telling you right now. I will put my spirit in you and you shall live. And what's he going to give you? Your own land? We covered this one night in a Bible study after Gary preached on the Valley of Dry Bones. But I'm reminding you. Because where's that land going to be? Say, well, in heaven. Well, in the earth too. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. How will you know when God puts it in you? What has the Lord been doing? All right, we got to finish this. Based on everything we've said this morning, Jesus made this statement. My words are spirit and life. Flesh profits nothing, you right? My words are spirit and life. When God said, I want to put my spirit in my people, did he only go, I'm going to breathe it in you? Or did he also say, well, I'll tell you what, I'll make a mediator and he'll come and he'll breathe his word and in his teachings and fill you with the Spirit. Is that how he did it too? See, my point is this. Spirit is always, it's always about wind. It's about breath. It's about life. You know, things like that. It's all connected. It's all one. But word is too. So when he breathes into you, what is he actually doing? He's putting spirit, yes, but he's also putting word in you. So notice what happens when God made the parable of talking. Do you have to breathe out words when you talk? Should those breaths of life enter into you and fill you with the Spirit? Every time we hear the preached word of truth that came from heaven, he is filling us with his Spirit. Now, I'm not making light of the outpouring of the Holy Ghost and the wind. I am saying, you are spirits. And God breathed you as a spirit, and every word that comes forth fills you with his Spirit. He's making this spirit that belongs to him just like him. And therefore, when he continues to breathe into us, he's just making us like him. The more breath of God you have in you, the more likeness and the more of his image and the more of his word you become. Whoa, it's powerful. And then after a while, you start learning, I'm not of this world. I am not of this world. I am not of this world. I am not of this world. I'm not of this world. And if you're saying that, what else are you saying? Okay, I heard different answers. I'm of heaven, I'm of God, I'm of the Spirit, I'm of the Word, I'm of Jesus. There you go. But we're not of the world. So you can shut the spirit of the world down. You have authority to do so. Everybody hear that? Because why? Because I came from God. And I'm there now with Him. And everything I do in my life is because I'm at the throne talking to Him right now. And I'm in fellowship with Him. See, that's how we're going to learn to think. Pretty powerful, isn't it? Boy, we love God, don't we?